Welcome to Resiliency Redefined. I'm your host, Robin, and I am thrilled to share with you information about resiliency, well-being, performance, education, business, parenting, and everything in between. I'm committed to joining you each week to talk about these big ideas and bring them into action, habits, tools, strategies, tactics that allow us to finally uncover what it takes to truly be well. And I'm just so excited that you're here. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Resiliency Redefined. I'm your host, Robin. And today, we're going to talk again about change. So just recently, I had this amazing opportunity to connect with this wide open, big group of persons. And the question we were talking about is, how do we get better at change? So I thought, why not bring some of that learning here to you today? So we've already kind of tiptoed around the idea of change in an earlier episode, but what I wanted to highlight today is just a wee bit about the psychology and the underpinnings as to why change has many different feelings. So first of all, I think it's really important to recognize that we are essentially always in a change season. There's this notion that of permanency, that things are always staying the same, but the reality is we are always in a change season. It's just sometimes certain elements of that change season take up more of our focus or our attention. So the reality is we're always changing. Often too, I think about the notion of our experience with change when we look at it along the storyline of our life. So something that I see working with people is that if change was perceived in your storyline, perhaps by your parent when you're growing up or just community around you, if change was perceived as a negative thing, that these are the things that were happening to us, we were feeling a sense of it's outside of our control or just the chaos and the unpredictability of everything being in a constant state of flux, the likelihood of us having a negative connotation of change is very high because change is something that is happening to us. It's something that if it would be better if we could avoid it, but we can't and we're being forced into it. Other times we can look at our storyline and we can see that change was presented to us growing up as a big opportunity, that it is exciting. Sure, there's parts of it we don't have figured out yet. Maybe we feel a wee bit nervous, but ultimately the overall messaging is that change is exciting. Change is important. Change is something that we welcome and we adapt with. So just to take a moment to pause and reflect, when you look back on your storyline, how would you say your primary people in your life growing up, how did they perceive change? Because there's a very good chance we picked up some of their perceptions around what change experiences should be perceived as or how we should think about change. Now, for me, as somebody who has navigated a lot of change, many different reinventions and iterations of me trying to figure out who I am and what I'm all about, to me, what's scarier than all of the change is the idea of staying the same. Now, I'll say it again because it's important. As our friend Alice Stein Jr. likes to say, I'm going to say it again because it's important. Staying the same, not being able to have agency to change, to me, is way scarier than the unknown of what change brings. Imagine you had to stay stuck in a season in your life that was not ideal, that was not optimal, and you had no agency, influence, opportunity, or ability to be able to do anything differently, right? Just imagine how uncomfortable and how scary it would be to be frozen in these situations versus knowing on some level there is this amazing ability that we have as humans to adapt, to learn, to grow, to unlearn, to again, reimagine, redefine, even reinvent ourselves in terms of what matters most to us. So again, to kind of tie that together, our change stories and our experience with change is highly impacted by how change was presented to us when we were little. And this idea of having agency within our change abilities, or what we call efficacy, our ability to influence what comes next, including our own behavior against situations, that's going to make a big difference on the change experience. Now, there's another variable that we talked about. I talked about this a lot last week with the group I was working with. That's called change readiness. And there's two key ingredients to change readiness. Number one is preparedness, and number two is willingness. So again, number one is preparedness. Do you have the information? Do you have the tools, the resources? Do you have the energy, whatever that might be? So whatever it takes to be prepared, that's one variable. And number two, again, is the willingness. How open are you to change? So if we think about, let's say your team, your group, your organization is going through a massive change right now, which I am seeing all over the world. Like, the degree of uncertainty and change are radical right now with groups and organizations across sectors, across groups. It's pretty remarkable how much change people are navigating. While we essentially have been in this like massive change season for the last 5 years, and we're reimagining and redefining so many different roles and responsibilities in our society, like, it feels relentless that yet again, here we are. Now, at the top of this show, I said, yes, we're always in a state of change. Just sometimes the amount of variables or the speed in which change is happening can lead people to feeling overwhelmed. Like, there's just no solid footing to be able to lean into. But don't worry, we're going to talk about what we can do to cultivate a feeling of steadiness and sturdiness in a big change season. Okay, so lots of folks are going through these big changes. Question you'd want to ask yourself is, do they have enough of the information, resources, tools, again, energy, support to be prepared to do whatever is going to be required of them to adapt, to bring about this change? And then again, that piece about willingness. How willing are they to put those actions into practice? Now, you can have all of the information, you can have all of the support from your leader, you can have all of those parts, but if that personal agency of willingness isn't there, we're going to hit that red light. We're going to hit that, you know, that idea of just like, now this person isn't going to move forward. Doesn't matter what you say or do or offer, it's not going to be good enough because the willingness isn't there. Now, we can give people as much information as that we have to share. And again, this is so important to recognize. A lot of times, especially our leaders, they're not in positions where they have all the information. But being able to create a dialogue where there is this kind of sense of trust that I'm giving you as much information as I have will make a difference. The other variable that I think is important within that idea is understanding what are the person's biggest like fear points. What are their biggest fear points? So, example, I was just working with a group yesterday, and when I asked this team what were their fear points about this change, the number one fear point I heard back was that they're just going to get a phone call or an email one day that their job is gone. Right? That they're just going to get a phone call one day that it's like, hey, don't come into work, your job's not here anymore. Which, when we look at why that is so scary, well, because so many of us are using our livelihoods to be able to support our families, to support our life. The notion that we wouldn't have the resources coming in to do that, it is scary. So instead of telling people like, don't worry, which never works in the history of the world, telling somebody not to worry isn't going to make them not worry. Acknowledge that. I hear that you're scared that one day, just out of the blue, you're going to get an email or a phone call. I need you to know that there will be a process. So this is what a leader could say. There will be a process, and it is not going to be that black and white. Like, there will be, if there are going to be job cuts, there is going to be a process. Like, you don't have to get this doom phone call and just think that all of a sudden you're done. There'll be a process if perhaps that's available within your group. So what I hope you're hearing in this idea is that figure out what the pain points are or the fear points and come up with a strategy or a plan to address that. Because the reason why we're experiencing fear is because fear is essentially showing us to pay attention, because this behavior, this thing that's happening outside of this, our control, is going to impact our ability ultimately to be safe, to be able to provide for our loved ones, to be able to know we are okay. So maybe if you just take a moment to think about, if you're somebody who's on the receiving end of change, what are your fear points and what actionable things or pieces of information could you put in place to help mitigate runaway fear or that runaway anxiety? Now, another idea that I think is super helpful is to recognize when we're holding big feelings around change, it's often because of this. We're overestimating the impact of change and underestimating our ability to respond. I'll say that again. We're overemphasizing or we're over anticipating the impact of change, and we're under anticipating how we're going to be able to respond to it. So think about that for a moment. If you are going through a change season, I want to ensure you, I want to make sure that you are emboldened to recognize, even if everything is happening and it feels chaotic and scary, there are things that you can do to build your confidence to be able to be adaptable, your ability to be able to respond. So again, we're overestimating the impact of change and we're underestimating our ability to show up. But my friends, let me be the first to remind you this morning, you can do hard things. It might not feel good and we might not like it, but on the other side of that, I believe it's exactly where you're meant to be. It's exactly where you are meant to be able to figure out the skills, the tools, the resources that you will need to build the next iteration of where you get to go. So again, being mindful that we're not over giving too much power to the experience and not giving ourselves enough recognition of how good we are about figuring things out. Now, if we get really honest with ourselves, you might come to that point where you say, well, I just don't want to. I just don't like this idea. No. And I want you to think about, like, okay, where would we hear somebody just like dig in their heels, or somebody just decide that there's this deep resistance, this protest behavior, maybe it's this procrastination behavior. Where often do we see that? Well, we'll often see it in toddlerhood. And remember, twos and teens are very similar, right? So we often see it in toddlerhood and in teenagerhood, because what's happening developmentally is that we feel out of control. We feel that people are putting everything on us, or and they're the ones that are, you know, telling us what to do, where we can go, how it's going to be. So you might notice, for example, if your leader comes in and says, hey, we're going to go through a change, you might actually have a wee bit of a toddler response where you just want to slam your foot, throw that toy and say, heck no. Or a teenager where you literally put on the headphones and the hoodie and like just ignore it. Those are so important aspects of who you are, because again, that teenager, it's like trying to figure out the language to ask for what they need. That toddler is just in the big feeling and perhaps doesn't know how to digest it. So we can bring our wisest self, right? The one that's like totally grounded in here, and say, yeah, teenager, I get it. Yeah, I want to just block out the world. I just want to ignore. I just want to procrastinate. I just want to, heck, sleep all day and be up all night playing video games, whatever that might look like in the scope of teenagerhood. Like, it's this protest behavior. I get it. It's so important that you meet that part of you with like enormous amounts of curiosity and compassion. So even again, if somebody says something you don't like and you feel that toddler kind of tantrum inside, gosh, lean into that little person. And one of, in my opinion, the greatest measures of success is if we feel that toddler reaction, that little part of us that's still there inside of us, and we have grown into the person that can meet that toddler's needs. Just think about that for a minute. Imagine and hold space to recognize that you have grown into that woman that will protect that toddler, that will meet that toddler's needs, that will let them know You're safe. I got you. I'll figure this out. Again, I think that is such a remarkable measure of human development when we become the person or have the characteristics of what we most needed at different points in our life. Okay, all that being said about change, let's just also, if it's useful, hold space to recognize, again, that piece about underestimating ourselves. Our survival rate for hard things thus far is 100%. You are still here. I get that you might not like how this is unfolding, but taking back your power in terms of how you show up and meet that change is going to radically impact the quality of your well-being. So again, being mindful about how we're talking about the change, right? This is happening to me versus how would you respond if this was happening for you? Now, there's a tool in humanistic psychology that encourages people for just a moment to say, what if whatever this change is, you chose it? Just think about that for a moment. What if whatever this change was, you chose it? Okay, how would you show up for it? If you chose this, right? And you're like, okay, this is the hand I'm dealt. This is the experience that's happening. This is what's unfolding. And you were, again, in that driver's seat. How would you show up for it? How would you stick handle it? How would you navigate it? So moving to a different vantage point to look at a change experience could be extremely helpful. Now, I think I would be remiss to talk about change without recognizing there are going to be events or experiences or seasons in our life that we can't outthink, that we can't just digest and process. And probably one of the biggest ones is grief. As I've said before, grief rewrites us. We can't outthink grief. And that is a change that rewrites us. It redefines us as people, especially when it's with those people who matter most to us, those core people who help us become who we are and are so built in our bones and our DNA. When we lose those relationships, we're different afterwards. And a lot of times what happens after grief, when we're in it, so we have this event that brings grief, which is a testament to love. What happens next, a lot of things are going to unfold that you don't like, that you don't, gosh, you didn't sign up for this. You didn't want to be in this situation. And how people also navigate their own grief, especially if it's around the same loss, it can be very, very difficult. And people might start doing things differently. They might start, again, even just how they celebrate holidays, how they just show up on a daily basis. It's like when that anchor person's no longer there, all of a sudden everybody's just trying to like figure it out and they're spinning their tires. And then they might land upon this strategy about moving forward that doesn't feel right for you, that doesn't work for you. And again, nobody has a monopoly on grief. And what I mean by that is when we're in these change seasons and we didn't sign up for them, there's this propensity for certain people to think that it's like impacting them more than anybody else. Grief has no boundaries like that. There isn't a monopoly on who's allowed to be the saddest or whose life is impacted the most. Every person experiences change as it comes to grief in their own way. And I think what's extremely important is that we let people experience their feelings and their experience with different situations. So things look different after grief, and the change season isn't one that we choose. It isn't one that we can get behind and try to outthink. And we recognize ultimately people are doing the best with the skills and the tools and the gifts that they have to reimagine and reinvent themselves after grief. However, that doesn't mean we have to like it. So we're going to respect it, but that doesn't mean we have to like it. And this is my big invitation to kind of stay in our own lane when it comes to this, to figure out how do we show up in change seasons in a way that honors what our needs are and trust that we're well equipped to figure it out. And it might be messy. It might feel very uncomfortable, but change is meant to be messy. It's meant to be hard. It's meant to get your attention. But we also know that change is possible. I'm a huge believer and advocate in hope-filled stories to encourage people, even as they're going through loss, and that change wasn't for them. So whether it be loss of a loved one, whether it be a loss of a job, a loss of a relationship, or gosh, the loss of the goodest puppy ever. Change is so hard and we adapt. Doesn't mean it gets easier. It means that we trust that we are going to be able to figure out moment by moment. One of my last little kind of notions that I share with you is I always get so frustrated when people are going through big change and people say, you know, oh, you just got to take it day by day. Dude, we literally take life day by day. Like you can't not take things day by day. You can't take things minute other than minute by minute, moment by moment, experience after experience. So the platitudes that people kind of put out there in the world, just if you're also somebody who doesn't quite find that they land, you're not alone. It's really difficult. It's the same notion as, you know, we can't heal faster than time can go. Yet so often we're trying to rush through the feeling versus recognizing we have a different story with change, each and every one of us. The changes that happen that are outside of our control, they tend to be scary. We can position ourselves in a place to feel well-resourced, and we can only, again, manage it in what's realistic in terms of the moment by moment showing up in our behaviors and our thoughts and our actions. And there's really no right way to do any of this. I think there's definitely a lot of wrong ways to do it, but there's not one right way that's going to work for everyone. And that is a-okay. Well, my friends, thanks for listening. Thank you for continuing to ask your questions. I love hearing from you on social media. Seems to be a popular place where folks are reaching out. So please keep those questions coming. I'm here to be useful. I hope you have a wonderful day and take good care. Bye for now. Thank you for spending time with this podcast episode today. I hope you found something helpful in Resiliency Redefined. Please feel free to share it with somebody who you might think could benefit. Maybe there was something useful, something in particular that you think you could pay forward. Also, if you have a moment, please feel free to rate and review this podcast wherever you like to listen to your podcast. It means the world to me. And again, thanks for your time. Thank you for your interest. Take good care, and I'll see you next time.